Good afternoon and welcome to our virtual meeting. It's 1:30 p.m. on June 15th, 2021, and time to reconvene a regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Sid Logan, President of the Commission. In accordance with Governor's Proclamation 20-28.15, we are holding meetings remotely today. Joining me today is Commissioner Rebecca Wolf, our Vice President, Commissioner Tony Olson, our Secretary, John Harlow, our CEO General Manager, Ann Spangler, our General Counsel, Melissa Collins, our Commission Executive Services Director, Jenny Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board, and Lila Wall, Deputy Clerk of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please mute and turn off the camera on your devices when not speaking. I'll ask for questions or comments on agenda items as each item is discussed. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Some questions can be answered during the meeting, while others may require more time. Please indicate you'd like to speak by clicking Raise Hand. If using the software or if joining by phone, dial *9 and I'll call on you at the appropriate time. Are there any items to be added or changes you've made to the published agenda, commissioners?
Yes, please add consideration of a motion for indemnity and defense of employees as item 5B.
Okay, thank you. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, state and spell your name and indicate where you are from. Comments from the public is item 2 on today's agenda, and that's when the board will hear comments for items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second from the board. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. So first item up is item 2, comments from the public. There are comments from the public on items not on today's agenda. If so, please raise your hand and state your name, first and last name for the record. So we have Gayla Shoemake. Good afternoon, Gayla. You're unmuted. Actually, you're still muted. There you are.
Good afternoon.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry. Can you try that again, Gayla?
Did you accidentally mute me again, Sid?
I did. I meant to lower your hand.
It's okay. Hello, commissioners. This is Gayla Shoemake from Edmonds. I just have a clarification question about the community solar project that's going to be in Everett. You know, I'm very interested in the solar, have been historically because I had solar panels for years. I want to kind of understand it. The grant was given because it is going to be benefiting people in low income. That's correct, right? But it's a community solar project. So people buy into it, kind of like we did in Arlington, but the electricity that is produced is going to be used to help lower income people reduce their electric bills. Am I even close on that, John?
John, is that a question we can answer now, or do we need to get back to Gayla? You're muted, John.
We're trying to Good. Commissioner Logan, this is Ann Spangler. I might be able to help with that.
Susie.
There's Susie. Maybe Susie, she can answer. Yeah. Hi, Susie. I didn't see you there.
Hi, Gayla. Nice to hear from you. So this project, it is quite a bit different from Arlington in that, at least as of now, we will only have one subscriber to this project, and that is our administrator of the Project Pride Fund, which is St. Vincent de Paul. And so all of the generation credits will be flowing to Project Pride and then administered by St. Vincent de Paul. So there isn't, unlike Arlington, this isn't one where our customer base will be buying into it.
So it isn't exactly a community solar project, because the definition of a community solar project is that lots of people participate in it. So maybe it needs a different title.
Yeah, I mean, that's something we could
actually.
Thank you. Ann, yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Susie. This is Ann Spangler. I want to comment if I can. Actually, the definitions in the statute permit multiple types of what they call community solar projects to include things that are entirely utility sponsored like Susie's describing, or ones with only one subscriber. So your point is a good one. Community implies that we have multiple customer subscribers. We certainly could think about changing, you know, what we call it for our customers, but it does meet the definition of a community solar project in the statutes. So I hope that helps.
Okay, it does meet it in the statute, but not in the greater definition, because I looked it up too. So I didn't look up the statute, but our statute in the state is obviously different than the general definition. Okay, well, I kind of thought that was the case, but since it was called the community solar, I thought I'd better ask the questions. So, well, let me know if you decide to change the title or anyway, I would still like as much information as possible, Susie, as it goes along, because I would like to support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Gail, for your comments. Seeing no other hands up, we are now on item 3, our consent agenda. 3A, approval of the minutes for the regular meeting of June 1st, 2021. 3B, bid awards, professional service contracts, and amendments. 3C, consideration of certification / ratification and approval of district checks and vouchers. I will call for a motion.
I move approval.
Okay. Are there any comments from the public regarding the consent agenda? Not seeing any. Are there any questions or comments from the commissioners?
As Commissioner Olson, just a comment. In reviewing the competitive purchases, we purchased on the state agreement, you know, for the public's information, when you look at the savings that for our ratepayers in using this vehicle, you know, I think there are three on this, and one, the price was reduced from $388,000 down to $122,000. And that's just one. And so my point is these cooperative purchase agreement opportunities are a great benefit to the utility and our consumers. Mm-hmm. That's it. Thanks.
Yeah, I agree. I use these vehicles when I worked for a school district, and we're able to save substantial amounts of money. Yeah. And since they're bidding out so many large things together. Okay.
Yeah, we did that on computer purchases. It was really good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next is item 4, public hearing and action. 4A, disposal of surplus property, third quarter 2021. I will call for a motion.
I move approval.
Actually,
wait just a minute. I have to take a look at my notes. Just a minute. Oh, I have to read this. I don't have it memorized. Based on staff's recommendation that the items are no longer necessary or useful to the district, I move that those items listed on exhibits A and B of the surplus property recommendations report be declared surplus and be sold for a high bid or disposed of according to policy in the third quarter of 2021.
Okay, I will now convene a public hearing on the disposal of surplus property for the third quarter of 2021. We have HUD Allworth available to answer any questions. Are there any comments from the public regarding the surplus property? If so, please raise your hand. Okay, I'm not seeing any hands up. Are there any questions or discussion from you, commissioners?
I have none.
I have none.
You know, I just have a quick one, and HUD, maybe I've missed this in the past, but I noticed we have some that say pre-authorization for obsolete or miscellaneous and then blank. I don't remember. Have we pre-authorized things before like this?
Yes, sir. We submit a pre-authorization on each quarter. This allows us to dispose of items during that quarter that you've approved us to do it for.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Well, hearing no other questions, I will close the public hearing and I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next is item five, items for individual consideration. First is 5A, consideration of a resolution authorizing the CO general manager to execute a water supply contract between the City of Everett and the joint operating agreement participants. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Okay, we have Brant Wood available to answer any questions. The commissioners were briefed upon this, I think, last meeting. Mm-hmm. But are there any comments from the public regarding this resolution? If so, please raise your hand. I'm not seeing any hands being raised. Are there any questions or comments from the commissioners?
I have none.
No, I haven't any either.
I don't either. Okay. I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next is item 5B, consideration of a motion for indemnity and defense of employees. I will call for a motion.
I move approval.
There's a broader motion needs to be made.
I believe that we need to read that motion into the record.
Okay, I apologize. Would you like to read it, Commissioner Olson, since you have it?
Oh, all right. I move that the commission approve the request for indemnification and defense of Julie Anderson and Boone Mill in the matter of Mary Funston versus Snohomish County Public Utility District Number 1, Robert Boone Mill and Julia Anderson on the grounds that set forth in the confidential memorandum from counsel to the CEO general manager dated June 3, 2021.
Commissioners, are there any questions or comments?
Mr. Logan?
Yes.
Can I have the motion just reread? The names were slightly off in the motion.
Oh, I apologize for that. We'll do it again. I do apologize. I move that the commission approve the request for indemnification and defense of Julia Anderson and Boone Mill in the matter of Mary Funston versus Snohomish County Public Utility District Number 1. And then it does read again, Robert Boone Mill and Julia Anderson. Is that correct? That's what I have.
Yes, thank you.
All right, so it reads, to continue, versus Public Utility District Number 1, Robert Boone Mill and Julia Anderson, on the grounds set forth in the confidential memorandum from General Counsel to the CEO General Manager, dated June 3, 2021. Did I get it correct this time?
You did, thank you.
Thank you, very much.
All right. So I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next is item six, our CEO general manager report. Do you have a report for us today, John?
Yeah, I have a few items I'd like to share with the board. First off, our energy services team this past month provided 14 area food banks with energy efficiency products to share with their customers. And we're seeing already over 100 or almost 120,000 in kilowatt savings thus far. The Energy Services is also working with customer service to plan a coordinated contact with customers for our low income or income qualified customers for discount enrollment and energy efficiency education, which will foster practical connections between bill savings and energy consumption to our most vulnerable customers. Also in our customer service area, the CSRs are performing outbound calls to a subset of customers, encouraging them to sign up for the My Snowpud and auto pay and assist them with payment arrangements. These customers who previously paid on auto pay and have not yet signed up and are carrying somewhat large balances. In our communications area, the new quarterly e-newsletter for businesses, Energizing Your Business, will come out on Thursday, June 17th. And in our business readiness, all 10, 7 line and 3 substation of current foreman in training folks successfully completed their training requirements. And we've also completed the year 1 leadership training course. And in HR, our recruiting folks are particularly busy with 57 open requisitions positions. Several of these represent openings for student workers in various district departments. The summer student program has been an ongoing and successful way for the district to bring talented employees into the organization to be introduced to potential careers at the PUD. And one last thing I'll share with the board, not a big deal, but just thought I would make you aware that Colin Hansen, who is the CEO for the Kansas City Municipal Utilities and is the incoming APPA board chair, has asked me to sit on the APPA board executive committee for him. So I'll be doing that starting in his term, at this upcoming national conference in a couple weeks. So that's it.
Good call. Good call.
You're going to get more ribbons on your badge now.
Kudos. Congratulations, John.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Commissioners, any other comments or questions for John on his report?
No, I have none.
I will say, I mentioned that primarily because I am always encouraged when we have the opportunity to just continue to get the build the Snowpud name out in public power across the country. That brings a lot of value in just the connectivity and the relationships and the networking credibility. So
big time value, John.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm so appreciative that we're working with the food banks to get energy conservation measures. That just seems like such a logical win-win. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Hats off to that team. So,
yeah. Okay.
Next is item 7, commission business. We have 7A, commission reports. Are there any reports, commissioners?
I have no reports.
I have none.
You know, I'll just say that I went to one of the Economic Alliance events, must have been last week, and it ended up being about daycare and early learning. And I thought mm-hmm. the subject was something else, but it was very, very fascinating. And to understand the challenges of mm-hmm. Of both, some of those I had dealt with in the school district, and then you can see how in a time like this with a pandemic going on, how that affects the ability for parents to return to work. And anyway, it was just, it's interesting, the challenges in our county are going to get bigger yeah. as the cost of living goes up and things like that. So anyway.
May I add one thing to that? This morning from 8:30 till 9:30, which is in conflict with our commission meeting, they had EASC, the same group, Economic Alliance, had a program on housing. And those are available. We can go to the website and hear those after the fact. So if whoever is interested in housing may want to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Next is item 7B, our commissioner event calendar. Are there any changes to the commissioner event calendar? I don't know of any.
No.
Okay. Next is item 8, our governance planning, 8A, our governance planning calendar. Are there any changes to the governance planning calendar?
I just would like to ask for a clarification and maybe a little discussion on something that's on our agenda for August 17th, the board owner linkage plan. What is the process for that going to be?
So we had discussed that, a number of months ago in the discussion that the board had regarding the board's engagement opportunities and communication opportunities. Mm-hmm. And it was agreed that staff would bring back a outline or a draft strategic plan and recommendation for the board to review, which is what that is set for. In the second meeting in August.
Okay, so my question is, the board and the owners are the public, right?
Not necessarily.
Okay, so explain that to me, please.
I've been doing some research on this, and I don't know that I have the answer. But based on my research, the owner from a public, there are the consumers and there are owners. Consumers buy things, owners value things. And the link for the board is the value proposition. Now, I know that sounds, there's a lot of subpoints under that. So I'm not sure we're all on the same page in terms of a strategy. I think the board needs to do some preliminary work on really zeroing in on what our definition of our role should be from the governing body to the owner. And I think the owner can come in various shapes, forms, venues. It's not necessarily just the ratepayer. So I don't have a good feel for what it should or shouldn't be, but I do think staff needs to have some kind of overriding direction. Right. And I know they're doing a lot of work on it, but now that I've stepped back, I'm thinking maybe we haven't done the front end work that we need to do to coalesce on what our role should be. Based upon what I've researched, looks like we're kind of doing a lot of it, but it's hit and miss. It's not coordinated. There's not a strategy. That's my humble input.
Thank you. I appreciate your comments. I always understood that the owners were the voters.
That's a discussion that we need to have then.
Right.
And sometimes it's not, you think it'd be intuitive, but it's not. And the more I got into it, I thought, I'm scratching my head. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into it and jump to some conclusion. I'm just thinking that I know staff is working on a strategy, but I'm not quite sure that we have really coalesced.
I agree.
On what we think the link, the most effective link should be. You know, it's not a newsletter. It's not, you know, there's attitudes that we might have that we need to coalesce on. There is statistical data that we might use in a different way. And there's to me, it seems like the greater portion of it is the targeted outreach. And we do that hit and miss, and that may be where we may want to focus once we really get in and look at it. So, you know, that's my humble input.
Well, what would you think about, excuse me, having a preparatory meeting among ourselves? I mean, it would have to be announced or published. But I think it would be good for us to have a preparatory meeting because I want us to find ways that we can connect with our voters and be within the law and be appropriate.
I think that's what we asked the staff to do when we met and talked about this. This was the plan we all agreed on, that staff would, we had a conversation around it, staff would take a stab at it and bring it back to us. So I think before we plan any additional meetings, we ought to see what staff comes back with. It does not bind us to anything, but it's their recommendations. They've put some thought into it. So I guess I'm not sure why we would change the process when they've already started it and they're doing exactly what we asked them to do.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Commissioner Logan, what you're saying, as happens often, is that we're giving it to staff, that we're not having a stab at it. And I agree with Commissioner Olson. I think we should be having a stab. It's our owner linkage plan. And just because it was mentioned before doesn't mean that it's too late for us to get involved in what how it should be. And it feels as if I'm being criticized for bringing up something that concerns me. And I'm being reminded that, oh, we talked about that before. Oh, we decided it was okay for staff to start working on it. But what about us? I mean, this is our territory, and I want to hold on to it.
I'm not criticizing you, Commissioner Walz. I'm reminding you that we asked staff to do this. This wasn't just the staff saying, we're going to do this, and we gave a head nod. We asked them to do this. This was specifically what we asked. The three of us had a conversation, and this is where we ended up. Now, maybe if we'd had that conversation today, we would have done something else. But I just am sensitive to the fact that we've asked staff to do this. They're working on the problem. They're going to come back. You know, they're already working on something. So are we asking them to throw that out the window and now we start another process?
No, I'm not asking them to throw anything out the window, but I think it's our responsibility to provide input to staff, not just respond to staff. Because I think that this is an area of board responsibility and that we should be leading on that. So, okay. This is related to the three-member board. I could go back and listen to, maybe if you have the date, I could go back and listen to that again. I don't remember specifically all the words in our discussion, but I just bring it up today because, you know, August will be here before we know it. And I really agree strongly with Commissioner Olson that we need to clarify how we see our roles and how we see our role as it links to the public, to the owners who are the voters and the general public. And beyond that, as Commissioner Olson said, the value of the PUD.
Well, I guess I'm there with both of you. You know, yay. We've given direction to staff, Commissioner, come back to us, but I do think that they've got some good insight and to come back to us, and then we bring to the table what our, you know, we turn that around and then we really will talk about, does this meet our needs? But to also have the discussion at that time is what, as the elected body, what's our role? What should we be doing in terms of exposure of the utility beyond the aspect of programmatic things? Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, I'm not being very articulate, but
no, I think you are.
We've given staff a job to do. I don't think it's going to be easy, but to come back to us. And I thought that we three were very clear, as Commissioner Logan said, when we started this. But as time progresses, I begin to do some research. And I think that staff should understand that we take what they're going to provide us, an outline, mm-hmm. and that we look at it. And we may have some subtle differences in the way we may want to approach it.
So I guess I would like to add to what we would appreciate staff's doing is remember that we need to be able to connect in a way that is legal and appropriate, but also effective for us in relation to the voters in our districts and beyond, you know, the whole district. So
once we went in the general election, Commissioner, it goes beyond our district.
I know.
I'm accountable to the entire county and Camino Island. So that needs to be our focus.
I said, and beyond our district and beyond the whole district.
That's right. But we're elected in from a geographic area. But anyway, I agree with both of you. Staff is going to be bringing something forward. I don't know if we will be in person then. At that time, if it's going to be later, because I think a discussion like this is more appropriate. To me, it would not be as productive via Zoom. So, but staff does good work, provide us a good outline, but the way I might look at it when it comes to me may be different than my fellow commissioners. but we need to coalesce around that. Yeah, and I'm not sure that we have. I think we may have different visions of what it should be.
Maybe.
And that's the purpose of us developing a straw man. At the end of the day, this is the boards to own, and we absolutely want your fingerprints all over it. But each of the elements and kind of tenets that you have talked about, all three of you, and specifically Commissioner Olson and Commissioner Wolf, that will be included in the straw man in the draft for you to beat up and again, redline and have discussion over to because again, at the end of the day, this is yours. The board owns this. Well, we are just doing some of the lifting to get it to a point where you can have a discussion and, you know, help facilitate a process to get this where you want it.
Well, one of the things that I have really appreciated in the DEI program, diversity, equity, inclusion, is the principle that every person needs to feel welcome and valued, and that includes their ideas. And so I'm just putting that out there because as staff does their work to present to us, I think it would be appropriate for them to do a little survey of us individually and find out what each of us sees as our needs as a commissioner in dealing with the public. You know, I mean, they need to have something to work with. Just like Sherelle and Melissa Collins worked together to develop a survey of employees to find out what are your concerns, what are your needs, what would you like to see, how do you want it to be. That needs to happen for us too, I think. Before you deliver something, find out, get input from us. I mean, that would seem like a logical process to me. But
actually, I thought, and maybe I'm wrong, so someone please correct me, I thought that staff did do that. I thought Kim and someone else, or was that strategic plan that we got interviewed separately?
I'm talking about specifically interviewed regarding or surveyed so that we could give input to whoever is working on this regarding how we see the board owner linkage and our own needs as commissioners and our own expectations and understandings of what, you know, I mean, it's how we communicate with the public is a huge matter of trust among all of us. We need to be able to trust. And I don't want to feel like I have to, you know, go behind the PUD to talk to, I want to know what's appropriate, what's okay, but still have our needs met in terms of how we are allowed to communicate with the public, members of the public.
Well, again, I got to think about this because without a common, some kind of common coming together on some kind of common understanding of what it means, board owner linkage. Mm-hmm. To me, doing an individual survey, you're just going to end up, you're not really, I really think that there needs to be some dialogue that occurs. Staff provides us with their outline, what they see in response to what we've asked for to date. But to do it independently, you know, to survey us, that's assuming that each one of us knows what might be the most effective owner for this board, owner elected official linkage. And I think that there are just some core issues that if we don't coalesce around that, it will, to me, be of little value.
But may I ask you this? How do you come to coalescing if you don't have a chance to each one express where you're coming from?
Well, but I can appreciate that. But I think that we're jumping over a step that is to do some of our own research in terms of other work that others have done in terms of defining an effective board, and there's public and private, but a board owner linkage plan. What's the most effective? How can we be used most effectively mm-hmm. to promote or to establish a different kind of linkage with our customer owners? It's different from our perspective. It's developing relationships. It's developing, and perhaps I'm not clear, but we've given staff an ask with some pretty fuzzy details to come back with us, but to assume that, for me to assume that I think I know what would be effective, I would, you know, we're assuming by doing a poll of each one of us that we really have a common understanding of what might be an effective definition of board owner linkage. I'm not getting it. Maybe I'm not getting it without having that basic underpinning.
And I will say that there is a tie, or I see a tie between the board owner linkage and our strategic planning and strategic Absolutely. Planning process. As we've talked about, community engagement, community involvement is of significant importance. Right. Especially if you look at our vision, our mission, the board plays a key role in that. So we want to devise this plan for your review and your input that helps us meet our long-term strategic objectives, which is for, you know, our communities to be able to thrive and our customers to want to brag about us. And what role does the board play in that? What kind of outreach, what kind of networking, representation, communication does the board need to do in order for us to meet that ultimate goal and ultimate vision? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I think I could give an example. I would like to do a little outreach and talk about some of the wonderful things that are happening in the PUD, but I'm not sure what my limits are or my opportunities are. From my own experience, I think I would really love to be a guest speaker, you know, on the list for the educators to go in and talk to students and even to talk about the governance, you know, how does it happen? You know, we have 3 members, it might be 5 someday, things like that, that I think students, they really would appreciate knowing, or they might enjoy knowing. They need to know more about their PUD, I think. That's just my bias and or my opinion. And I don't think it's improper for us to represent the PUD. I think in other PUDs, the commissioners are more engaged, more involved maybe than we are. So anyway, we'll leave it there. I'll leave it there.
And you both have brought up great points, and I mostly don't disagree with anything. The only thing I disagreed with Commissioner Wolf was us trying to schedule a special meeting when we're still virtual before August 17th to try to have a pre-discussion. I'm sensitive to 2 things. One is that staff has already started the process and probably has some ideas and is doing what we asked them to do. So I think we need to let them do that. And I also have said several times, I don't want to have a special meeting until we can all be present together physically. So I certainly think that if we have our conversation August 17th and we have a lot more to discuss, that we should take our time and do it right. And we should understand, the 3 of us should be in agreement on what our roles are and how that best benefits the customer and the utility. So.
Thank you. Commissioner Logan, I never assumed that we would not be meeting in person before August 17th. I thought that was a very, very good chance that we would be able to meet the board, have a meeting to discuss, you know, how each of us sees this, or, you know, the needs that we feel we have. And how best to achieve this. Again, that's appropriate and legal. So I think maybe
I don't know what legal has to do with it, but anyway, well, I agree with everybody. I'm done.
No, I'm just saying I never meant to imply that I thought it should be virtual. And I agree with you, Commissioner Logan. It would be much better to have it in person. And I thought that there was a very good chance that we could do that before we meet, you know, with whoever is going to be representing staff on that. So thank you.
So Commissioner Logan, for clarification, go ahead.
I just want to say thank you for the conversation.
Oh, yes. Great conversation. Yes, Melissa.
So for clarification, if we're not in person for the August 17th meeting, do we want to push that topic out until we are in person? I just want to clarify before we get to August. That's what I heard, but I want to be sure that's correct.
What are your thoughts, commissioners? I'm fine with if we have to do it virtually on August 17th. I think what we're talking about is that may not be enough and that we may need to get together. That's my thoughts.
But would it be possible for us to get something, the draft that John has referred to, the draft, you know, sooner so that we can think about it, study it, research it, whatever, before August 17th?
It would go in the board packet. I don't know that we would send anything out prior. Yeah, it would go in the packet for discussion at the meeting. And go ahead.
What would you see as the agenda for August 17th, tentatively?
What do you mean by the agenda?
Assuming if we have a meeting, we have an agenda. So if we don't have a draft before the 17th, how can we be prepared to respond to what staff is coming up with?
We'll have the board packet like we always will, with all the presentation materials and all the slides.
In enough advance time to really give it some serious thought and respond to it on the 17th?
I think so. I'm not sure why we would have a special exception for this one presentation.
Well, sometimes we get presentations and we don't have to do anything for a couple or 3 weeks, and then it comes back. People have time to digest it, process it.
This presentation, we won't have to do anything. We have to listen and participate, but we can decide to do nothing, to adopt it, to have a special meeting at a later time, to discuss it more in depth. I think we have all the options ahead of us for this. This isn't something we have to take action on shortly, unless I'm missing something.
No, and I think that this is just an opportunity to get the conversation going based on the direction that the commission gave us a few months ago. I'd have to find what date that was, and I'll get that to you, Commissioner Wolf, but this will be a draft coming to the board just to start those conversations. You may agree with all of it, you may agree with none of it, you may want to change some of it, you may want to have further conversations, maybe, you know, two or three meetings where you want to discuss it some more. So what's being presented to you will just be a draft, some ideas, some research that staff has done, some of, like I think John said about the strategic planning, those types of things. So it'll all be on there for you to review and open up the conversation to have during the August 17th. And again, you don't have to make a decision. It's just to start the conversation, and then maybe we move it to another meeting where you will have more time to digest it, think about it, put in your comments, and then we can bring it back and have more discussion around it.
Thank you for those comments. In the board policies, where that is currently missing, I mean, it's really not included in the current board policies. I think it goes back, I mean, I think it's been missing for what, 10, 20 years. We shouldn't keep dragging it out. You know, we couldn't, we shouldn't keep saying, oh, anyway, we need, I agree that we need to do it in person as soon as it is feasible to do that. But I don't want us to keep pushing it off into another year and another year. So.
And you're correct, Commissioner Wolf. Actually, I worked with a consultant when they first did that. And it's so difficult, it's almost more difficult than any other part of the mm-hmm. policies. And it was so darn difficult. And we were so tired by then that it wasn't done and it hasn't been picked up. You're correct. And I do, I'm feeling a little easier here because John linked it to strategies, not necessarily programmatic, but the global strategies, the value proposition. So I'm feeling a little better about what I might see because strategic links, whether it be ratepayers, whether it be other, you know, other boards, municipalities, partners, et cetera, I think is where I'm thinking that's where the board will be the greatest value to the consumer and to the utility. But I don't know. We haven't had that. So staff's recommendation, staff's outline will be a good starting point. But again, I would like to stress that I hope we can come to some coalesce around some common definition of what this thing means.
So I have a question for Melissa, John, and just maybe general staff in general, and for us as commissioners. The work that has been done and is been doing and will be done on diversity, equity, and inclusion, isn't that supposed to be kind of a frame even for strategic planning? I mean, trying to bring more diversity of thinking and staff and all of that, isn't that part of our strategic planning or going forward? It seems like it's kind of over here, and yet how the board interacts with each other and with the public seems like it should be interwoven somehow into the DEI work and the strategic planning.
Well, as I had mentioned earlier, it is integrated with the strategic planning. I mean, that's, I would even encourage, if you haven't, and I suspect you probably have, but even though it's not complete and certainly I think up to the standards that we want our board owner, a revised or updated or new board owner linkage to be, to go back and look at the one that is currently in the governance policies and to just kind of get the context of what that one lays out. And it's not just board to the customer, it's also the perspective of what the customers, the value proposition for the customers and what they value in their utility. And how we meet those needs. So I say all that, just that may help give a little bit of perspective of kind of where we're starting from,
yeah.
But linking it again to our strategic planning process,
yeah.
And the long-term view, the long-term vision, which to me is part of the commission, the board play. That's really your role, is the long-term direction and future.
Linked to the value, yeah, right on. Yes.
Yep, and the DEI is part of the, included in the overall strategic planning exercise because it is being incorporated into our values and mm-hmm. our key pillars across the organization. So all exactly. of it is interwoven, basically makes up the DNA of the organization.
Well, I have to say, I really admire, John, how you make sense of things when maybe it might not be so easy.
That's one in a row.
No, really. I really appreciate it. And I admire you for that. And I think that's why many people all over the U.S. are recognizing that you have a gift for this, of bringing people together and trying to understand us, even when we're difficult, when we're hard to understand. So
that's what makes the discussion fun, is different perspectives.
Some of our commission, what should you call them? Those workshops that we go to when we go to conferences, like the one about difficult conversations and, you know, all of these kinds of things, we should welcome these opportunities to talk to each other and not just come in with, you know, oh, that's how I see it, and not ask, how do you see it? How do you see it? I rest my case.
Is there any further business to come before the board today?
I have nothing.
No, not from me.
Okay. Hearing none, it is 2:21 p.m. and our meeting is now adjourned. Be in good health, everyone.